You're called to lead a nation, but your foundation as a leader has to be firmly rooted and grounded in the Word of God.
We have a huge, huge heart for seeing leaders raised up and going into every realm of society.
People don't follow leaders who have it all together. They follow leaders who are real.
As a leader, when you think of servanthood, it's not something you grow out of. It's something that hopefully you would grow in.
If leadership is influence, everybody has influence. What are you doing with the influence you currently have?
As a leader, you're more anointed and more equipped to do what you're called to do when you are just being yourself.
At the end of my life, I don't want to look back and think, I didn't really do anything that required faith.
Circumstances don't make or break you, they reveal you.
You can bear fruit on roots that aren't very deep, but it's not gonna last.
You are not called to lead a nation based on your feelings. You're called to lead a nation where Jesus says to go.
This is the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Well, welcome back to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. And I say welcome back because this is part two of leading in teams. And before we dive into our topic, I want to introduce some of the hosts for today. And I will say this, I am Zach Curry. I am not Banning Leapshear, and I am filling in and doing what Banning normally does. We don't have Banning, we don't have Becky. And we do have Dean DeGuara. Dean DeGuara, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Dean is
present.
He is present. He's our director of resources and a regular here at the JCLP. And back by popular demand, it's been a while since we've had our guest host, one of the team, Mr. Chris Kilala. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
And we started in episode one with CJ Leapshear. We actually lost her as well. We'll tell you more about that in a minute. But in her place today, we have one of the Kilala family members and actually a returning host, Alyssa Kilala. Alyssa, good to have you back.
Oh, thanks so much, Zach.
So, you know, we just mix it up here. This is an episode that we lost people along the way.
We're dropping like flies.
But you've gained well.
But we've gained well. We've replaced well. And, you know, the Leapshears are in Hawaii. They went on a family vacation, which we're glad. Banning was speaking at the YWAM base in Kona, doing a DTS.
You like Banning. Like, let's start a church. Go ahead. You guys are good. Okay, now I'm going to go Hawaii. Yeah. Just leave you here.
It was missions work, really,
oh,
though.
Okay.
You know?
Well, yes,
so,
that's what we'll call it.
Missions work. If you watched, I'll say this because this is at least one of my favorite shows, and I think Alyssa would agree with me.
Yes.
If you watched the show Lost.
So good.
Great TV show, but I'd like to say this series, these two episodes of the JCLP is kind of starting to play out like Lost.
Exactly.
People are disappearing left and right.
I could see how you're tying that together.
Yeah.
For
and
sure.
Banning's, that's where they actually filmed Lost, was in Hawaii.
In Hawaii. So there you go. There's another point.
Who knows if they'll ever come back?
I hope he does.
Is this all just a dream?
Like, I don't know.
What's happening?
What
right
is
now?
Happening? I don't know. So I will say this. Becky and Banning will be back. Don't worry too much. But this is going to be another great episode. So before we
maybe
dive
the
in,
best episode.
Maybe the best. Last one was pretty dang good. I'm not gonna
it was good. I've heard a lot of good feedback, actually.
I don't want to brag, but I was touched, personally.
There's so much humility in this podcast. You know, love it.
Here's my thoughts on humility. I'll say this. Humility is the proper assessment of who you really are.
There you go.
Too often we walk in false humility. And we say we're not awesome, but let's just be honest. We're awesome.
Yeah.
The perspective is this. The perspective is this. There's always someone more awesome, and that, you know, keeps you really humble.
There you go.
You know, so there you go.
I did. Love I heard it. That you did that definition.
I
yesterday
did. Yeah,
as well,
that's.
Huh?
I mean, we went a little deep, a little early in the podcast, but you're welcome.
That was a freebie.
Yeah, humility is the
I'm
proper
adding that to the
who you are.
Podcast topics in the
yeah.
future.
There you go. So, you know, around here, it's March, and
it may be March where you're at too. Who knows?
Who knows? If you listen to this later and go on a spree of listening through, like many of you do. It may be December. Who knows?
That's true.
By the time you get to this. But right now, when we're recording this, it's March. And we, as tradition in this office, we do March Madness brackets. And interestingly enough, this year, in the standings currently, we're not quite done yet, the people that may know the least about basketball, they may disagree. I don't know. And if you look at the male versus female participants, we have a higher percentage of the females in the top end of the bracket. So I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. I'm 11th place right now.
You don't want to talk about this, Dean.
Place, yeah. I was doing really good after the first game.
Yeah. You were in first place for like
5 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe. What do you think about March Madness?
I think that if I were to get involved in it, which I'm not at all involved in it, but if I were to, I would probably get very, very into it. Like, I'd probably just be all in.
She's very competitive.
I'm very competitive. I know nothing about sports, which is interesting because I'm a competitive person. March Madness, I think that's basketball. Mm. That is football.
Well done.
That's
better than Becky.
It's basketball.
Hey, that was basketball.
Just stick with your first answer.
Okay,
go with your gut. Go with your gut.
I was right the first time. Love that. Okay.
There you go. I mean, what would you say? Do you know much about the bracket busters, you know, and things like that?
What's a bracket buster? Alyssa's definition of a bracket buster.
A bracket buster. All right. So there's this end of the bracket and the other end of the bracket. And in between, there is a game changer. Somebody's really, really incredible. And then they break that bracket and they bust it open and they are the winner of awesomeness.
There you go. There you go. She's going to start a sports talk, talk radio, Alyssa. Yes. Kilala.
Stay tuned, guys. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. So, yeah. So, in other news, we'll keep you posted. Last year, CJ would let you know if she was here. She won. And
didn't submit an entry this year, though.
If she was here, she would also tell you she filled out the wrong bracket for last year's.
Okay.
So, you know. Poor CJ. What else to say?
Quit while you're ahead, sort of thing.
You know, it's a fun time of year, and it's Easter. Chris, you had a great idea for people to, you know, get a little interaction going on with Easter. We love Easter. It's the first time as a church we're celebrating Easter.
It is.
Our first Easter service. We're doing it in a gym. One service, really big, lots of fun Easter.
We're doing
events.
A gym. We're meeting in a gym.
In a gym, yeah.
In a high school.
Not we're like doing a gym for
we're
Easter.
We're doing a gym.
Yeah.
So... it's just go along with the Easter
theme. It's
just
working out. Like
everybody
CrossFit,
work out.
You know.
We're meeting in a gym, CrossFit which games. To explain, if some of you guys don't know, we're currently renting a theater at a high school. So
the
gym on campus has more room. So we're doing one service in the gym. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be great. And while you're at it, why don't you let us know what you guys do for Easter?
What do we do? It's different every year. We've moved a lot recently and... so actually this year we're getting together with some friends and family and just going to see what happens.
Just a massive Easter egg hunt. It's probably a couple Easter egg hunts, you know, between families and friends.
Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Nothing too crazy. I was out of town for several Easters. When we were dating, I was gone all the time traveling, but
so sad.
Anyhow.
It's just really sad. That's
I wouldn't say that's a good Easter tradition.
I was hoping you'd share something like encouraging and exciting. I just kind of like got sad.
This might turn into a counseling session.
Hey, well, I think each of you, let us know. Let us know the fun, exciting, crazy things you do. Give us a shout out on Twitter. Mm. Take some pictures on Instagram. Just share the love. So,
before we get into our topic today, we're going to go to our In the Game segment. And this week we have Sarah Hall as a guest. So go ahead and listen.
Welcome once again to In the Game, one of our favorite segments of the JCLP. This is Dean, and we are really excited to have with us Sarah Hall. Sarah actually is the 2012 U.S. National Cross Country Champion and a gold medalist at the Pan American Games in the steeplechase. She has represented the U.S. at 3 World Indoor Track and Field Championships and a World Cross Country Championship. Welcome to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast, Sarah.
Thank you. It's fun to be here.
We so appreciate you being on with us. And we really just, it's our heart just to come alongside leaders and encourage them. And so can you catch us up with what's been happening in your life and your life as an athlete?
Yeah, it's been a busy year for Ryan and I. We've been taking some trips over to Ethiopia to train, which has been really fun. One of our passions is helping people in extreme poverty through our foundation, the Hall Steps Foundation, and it's something I've always dreamed about doing since I was young, was international missions and development work. And so it's kind of fun to get to do our career alongside kind of being in an area that we're passionate about. And so we've been, just training hard, doing a lot of races. I've been moving up in distance this last year. That's been fun, just continuing to challenge myself. And this is my 10th year as a professional athlete, so getting to take on like new challenges and keeping it fresh is always really fun.
How has finding your why helped your running career, your and Ryan's running career? You mentioned missions and your passion to help people get out of poverty. How has that helped your running career?
Yeah, it's been huge because, you know, being a professional athlete, like, if you boil it down, it is a lot of time kind of centered around taking care of yourself and stuff. And so I think as believers, like, we're always we're doing those things unto God as worship to Him and doing them with excellence. But also I think finding ways to serve others through that is really important, and not have it all end with you and your own goals. And of course, you are, you know, being excellent at something does take a lot of time and a lot of focus and stuff. But I think there's always ways to serve others through anything that we're doing. So I think for us, it's been really cool to have the Halfit Foundation. It's our way of connecting our running with that passion, but also engaging other runners to do the same, and kind of helping them see, you know, you can commit your race to raising money and also make an impact halfway around the world, or it doesn't have to be our cause, but find a cause, you know, and have that motivate you in your training and racing.
Can you tell us what's next for Sarah Hall and how we can be praying for you and Ryan?
Yeah, thanks. So I just ran my first marathon at the LA Marathon, and it was a really tough day. It was kind of record high temperatures and a pretty tough course. And so it didn't go at all how I was hoping for, and it did it for Ryan as well. So we would love your prayers just as we kind of get vision for the races ahead and kind of what God wants us to focus on. The Olympic trials and the marathon are a year from now, and a little longer than that on the track. So just getting vision for like which event to focus on, and just how He wants to use us in the season.
Well, we'll be praying for you guys. Can you tell our listeners how they can find out more about what's happening in the life of Ryan and Sarah Hall?
Yeah, the best way to stay up to date would probably be social media. I'm at Sarah Hall 3, S-A-R-A-H-A-L-L 3, and Ryan's at Ryan Hall 3. And also we're on Facebook. We have Facebook pages that we update. And then also our website, we don't update quite as much as ryanandsarahhall.com. And our foundation's page is thestepsfoundation.org.
Well, again, Sarah, we appreciate your time and being with us today. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Jesus Culture Conference is coming back to Los Angeles. For the fourth year in a row, Jesus Culture will be in the heart of California for JCLA 2015. July 31st through August 1st, we're gathering with hundreds of believers to claim that with God, nothing is impossible. Speakers include Reinhard Bonnke, Jensen Franklin, Banning Leapshire, Kim Walker-Smith, and more. With worship from Chris Kilala and the Jesus Culture Band, Brian and Katie Torwalt, Kim Walker-Smith, Derek Johnson, and Christine DeMarco. Don't miss this life-changing event. Super early bird pricing for the first 500 registrants. Get more info and register at jesusculture.com/LA.
Well, we're back and continuing our discussion on leading teams. We talked about that in part one, and we're going to continue that conversation in part two. And in this portion, I think we talked about, you know, the value of team and, you know, building some teams and, you know, core value pieces. I want to get a little practical on this because the reality is, you know, our heart for this podcast is to equip, encourage leaders all over. And this is, you know, the concept of team leading people is just a very, very real part of leadership in all different areas. It's not just church and business. I mean, it may look different, but the reality is as leaders, a leader means you're leading other people. So whether you call it a team or a department or a group or whatever it is, part of our role as leaders is to empower people, to build teams, and accomplish the purpose, the vision, the mission that we're doing. And so I want to just start off and ask some of you guys, what are some practical ways or things that you've seen be really successful for your own areas that you lead in, or just that you've learned and seen overall that help you build teams, help you maintain teams? As leaders, this is a key thing that gets really practical.
I think just the first thing that comes to mind is when leading a team, I think people having a sense of ownership over what they're actually involved in, volunteering for, typically in the church world, it's volunteers, is that sense of ownership. And when they feel like they're just being told what to do, do this, do that, I need you here this time, et cetera, and there's not a real sense of ownership or vision over what they're doing, it's hard to actually get people motivated or even just have a heart to be there and serve. But when you're able to, we talked about vision last time, when you're able as a leader to express the vision, show the vision, but also give people a sense of ownership over what they're doing, I think people are way more motivated to even just take some initiative in within the team themselves. So I think a sense of ownership, for me, I mostly work with worship teams, but, for an example, like if I had someone I was raising up, like a new worship leader, I would find and they may not be ready to lead on a Sunday night. I would say, hey, here's a small group, and this is your small group. Like, I want you to pick out some songs. I want you to practice your songs. I want you to, connect with the leader of that small group and just make it the best you can be and give them, give them a vision for it. And I think when they have that sense of ownership over it, they just, your heart's in it more. Even just me being on a team, that's just, if I feel a sense of ownership over something, I'm way more inspired to serve and to
engage. Show,
to engage.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, yeah.
That's good.
That's great stuff, Chris.
Thank you. Next level.
Here we go.
You kind of alluded to it, Chris, but, when you're offered an opportunity to serve somewhere, it's also great to be able to kind of cultivate community within that team you're a part of. So many times, we can kind of get stuck in task mode where we're just showing up and then we're leaving mm-hmm. and we're checking out without connecting with the people we're actually working alongside of. And so one of the things that have just motivated me and how I've helped motivate teams is just saying, hey, you're not just showing up, let's spend some time together outside. So let's get coffee, let's get lunch, outside of serving and just showing up.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, this goes into any realm of society. When you have common experience together, it creates common ground. And obviously, the tragedy would be if you're working together on something, but you're not connected, then you're missing out on an opportunity. And I think it takes the level of, like you're saying, Chris, engagement, but also productivity and morale down. And I think another aspect for me that I think is really practical for any leader that's leading a team, small or big, is looking at what is the culture that you want your team to have. And like one thing we do here at Jesus Culture, we've got a growing team, and we've said a few things that when we have staff meeting or when we gather, we do a few things that emphasize and point to our culture. So we do some things like every staff meeting, we take time to affirm other people. We have a big culture of feedback here, which is not just positive feedback, but hey, let's give constructive criticism or ways we can all grow and be better, and everyone gives and receives it. But we also make time to say, hey, we're going to acknowledge the little or big things that people are doing, and it creates this culture within a team that we celebrate each other. Mm. We get excited, and what people do or bring to the table doesn't get overlooked, or we share what God's doing because we want to focus on
the hope and not, you know, there's always plenty of things to focus on that aren't going right. But at the end of the day, it may be different for you and your goals and the culture you're trying to create, but you have to reinforce that and do that continually, because we can say, hey, this is our value, this is our culture and a team, but then it may not actually happen, you know, regularly. So
alongside the encouragement, you know, which we do, every staff meeting, it's awesome. Even as a worship team, you know, after we'll text each other in the green room, say, hey, you guys did awesome on this part, et cetera. But gathering a team, I think when you were speaking about encouraging people, big or small, it's funny because we tend to gather people that are more like us, or even just notice if someone excels in something, it's something that maybe we're similar in or something. But actually finding people that have strengths that we don't have, you know, as a leader, like I want to surround myself with people that are administrative. I'm not administrative, so I need someone that's a super administrative or a planner or I even have some musicians that are very administrative and they're just a huge asset to the team. So finding those strengths and pulling those out of people is huge on a team, and gathering people that aren't just like yourselves. Yeah. Your turn, babe.
Oh, thank you.
It's accurate.
Sometimes it's really important, I feel like, to show a different side of yourself to people that you're leading as well. Like, you know, you encounter them maybe at church or in the offices and stuff, and you've got like this decorum that you feel like you have to maintain. But a lot of times, like, showing a different side of yourself just brings a connection if you're more relatable. For example, like maybe bringing people over to your house and just letting them see you in natural habitat, or like barbecuing.
Which
and just like
cannot always, it's not always pretty, right?
Yeah, not always pretty, but like a lot of times there's just this way of viewing somebody as a leader, and it's almost like almost a fear, you know, and then as soon as they get to know you better, they're like, oh, I'm not necessarily like afraid of you. I'm so like impressed by who you are and how you live life that it makes me want to serve your vision even more. So like just showing a different side of your daily life is really important too.
It's so good. I've got some practical things that some of this is summarizing what you guys have said, because this is all super good. But like what Dean, you said in connecting, I would say if you're leading teams, and I'm just going to go through this list because I was writing this down. Some of this is what you guys said and a couple other things as well. Connect with the people you lead. Take them to coffee. You know, like Alyssa's saying, invite them over to your house. Engage in their life.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Another huge one, Chris is really good at this, is just text people. You know, like we had a... our team put on an event, and there were some rough things that went on. And I sat down, I just started texting different people, and I'm like, hey, great job. You did a really good job.
I've seen you struggling there here.
No. It was just like, hey, I appreciate what you do. And this wasn't anyone in the room. You guys are all awesome. But that little thing, like when we text and encourage, not just verbally, it is a bigger deal than we realize.
I love when you text me, Zach.
I'll text you more. Also, like affirm, create a culture within your team when you meet to affirm each other. I would say this too, look towards the end result. What do you want your team to look at, to look like, to function as? What's the culture you want? If you don't know that, then you're never going to get there. It's easy to say we're not there and then you just stay where you're at. You got to look towards what do we want this team to look like and build into that.
Can I add something real quick?
You should, Dean. I think it'd be great.
Because that reminds me, sometimes you have to take your team on field trips. Like, we have a lot of people bringing their teams to Jesus Culture Sacramento right now.
Yeah. We need to go on one, huh?
I know. That'd be awesome. I can't wait for that field trip. But they just want to expose their teams to what God is doing in our environment.
Yeah.
And it's really good to take your teams
to
other places.
Which you guys did that. I was going to say, because we love this movement in church, is the Passion Church.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
We went to Atlanta, and you guys took a team. I wasn't able to go, but you guys went as a team and just was so impressed by everybody, from the greeters to the children's ministry, to everything.
Yeah.
So that's huge.
Totally. And the last two I have here are, and this is off what Chris had shared, is valuing the differences in a team. Like, the best teams have a variety of strengths. And so you got to value, like you said, Chris, the differences. And then lastly, create a culture of feedback where you're giving and you're receiving feedback.
So good.
And that's probably one of the hardest things, but you can listen to some of our past episodes on like brave communication and honor, because at the end of the day, as hard as it is, it creates some of the greatest strength in a team, because people, you know, both positive and also like how we can grow. If you have that within your culture, you're gonna do way better as a team, and people know, hey, this is where we're at, or this is how we can get better, or this is what we're going after. So, anybody have anything else to add to that before we transition?
All great things.
All great things. I think thanks, one Jeff. Thing that just came to mind, and this may be more of just a vague or a broad, you know, take on leadership is you got to lead by example. And leading a team, I can't require people to do something that I don't do myself, even just something simple like, hey, let's, you know, let's pick up the trash on stage after we're done leading worship. Let's pick up our water bottles, throw them away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I'm walking by a bunch of trash, but telling my team to do it, you know, how can I expect, you know, the team to do that stuff? So it's like, you got to lead. And I remember Bill always saying that, like, you know,
yeah.
Bill Johnson at Bethel was like, you know, if you see a piece of trash, like, that takes some ownership over, you know, our facility, over our, and it's just huge. Like, that always inspired me. Like, and I'd see, you know, Pastor Bill, like, picking up some trash, a gum wrapper or something on the ground. It was just meant so much to see, wow, like, he actually, cool. He doesn't just talk about it, he actually does it.
He does it, yeah.
So there's something about, you know, actually being a leader of what you're leading.
Yeah.
Or telling people.
Yeah, leading modeling. By example.
Exactly.
That's absolutely right.
Good stuff, guys. So, so much wisdom in this room.
Stop it some more.
Really, stop it some more.
That's awesome.
Great job, Chris, Dean, Zach. All right, we are going to transition here. We have been talking about leading teams on the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Banning's Book Club. Banning's Book Club.
Well, hello. Are you here for book club?
Books that all will have inspired, encouraged, and equipped us.
All right, well, it's that time again where you pull up a big, cushy recliner, leather preferably, sit next to a fireplace, unless you're in the middle of summer somewhere in the world. Grab a cup of coffee, which I don't drink.
Or hot chocolate.
Or a hot chocolate would work. People try to give me tea all the time, too. I'm like, I don't drink tea either, sorry. Anyways, and grab your favorite hardback.
Yep.
Or your favorite
e-reader,
and it is time for, and today is a special edition of Banning's Book Club and
Becky's Book Nook.
Book Nook. Now, we have, this is the first, because we always do first at this podcast, but we have decided to combine our segments today because, as you may have known, as you may have realized on this podcast, Becky and I were left out.
It's true. Interesting.
So me being the head of the organization, the director of Jesus Culture, was somehow left out, and Becky, who is
the president of the JCLP, self-proclaimed president.
Yes, and also self-proclaimed next in line to be the director of Jesus Culture.
Yes.
Somehow they kept us out. So Becky and I got together and said, we're not okay with this all.
Mm-mm.
We will be on this podcast. In fact, we've decided we're going to do book club, book nook. We're going to spend an hour and a half on this.
Yeah.
We're going to make them edit this down.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah,
good
have luck. Fun with this. So we do have book club and book nook today.
We do.
And it was interesting as we were talking, we're going to jump into what it is, but like we're talking about different books and and Becky, you come from a very, like, you know, very well-read.
Yes.
And they're like, well, we could talk about How to Kill a Mockingbird. I'm like, I've never actually read that. Which Becky was offended. You were kind of offended by that.
I think it's a staple of American literature. I don't know how you're sitting in this seat and you haven't read To Kill a Mockingbird.
Because what I grew up on, but no, I didn't grow up with TV, so yeah. I read a lot.
Mm-hmm. But what were you reading?
Louis L'Amour.
Louis
and the Hardy Boys. I read, I'm not exaggerating right now, I probably read every single Louis L'Amour book as
a
kid.
Goodness.
I was a kid. We didn't have a TV.
Oh my goodness.
We had a TV every Thursday night for 2 hours. My parents would pull out a little black and white TV to watch The Cosby Show, Family Ties, and Mystery. But so every Louis L'Amour book, I read 80. I don't know how many there are, but I read every one that was available.
That is
and,
incredible.
So I grew up on Louis L'Amour, and then the Hardy Boys was. I remember the Hardy Boys too. So I wasn't into that highbrow.
Yeah, I was reading Charles Dickens.
Yeah,
and
no.
I actually was though, like Great Expectations and all that stuff.
That explains a lot about you.
I feel when you said I come from a, and you hesitated. Were you trying to say nerdy?
No.
Is that what?
No, I come from a conservative. Oh, we're talking about you and me. Oh, yeah.
Well-read?
Yeah.
Nerdy?
Yeah, I come from a little bit more of a socially cool family, and you come from a little bit more of a socially
sure,
awkward family.
With your black and white TV that's on Thursday, yes.
That's how it works. Cool. All right, here we go. So we're going to jump in. Becky's Book Nook. You want to go first?
I'd like you to, because you're not even...
Well, here's the interesting thing. I actually am listening to some podcasts about a book right now. So another first
here... So along with not reading To Kill a Mockingbird, so, you're listening... So
not only am I not reading an e-reader right now, but... It's kind of an audiobook. It's audio teachings. So there's a book called Systematic Theology by a guy named Wayne Grudem.
Sounds really socially
cool. He is a
cool.
professor. He's in Phoenix, a really great guy. It's a super, super thick, like, textbook,
but
Systematic Theology.
But you wouldn't
so,
know
no,
that.
Listen to my story. No, I have it. I own the book. So I got it. I was going to read through it. It was so intense. And then I found out that he has, I'm not exaggerating, it's like 177 sessions.
Oh, my gosh.
Of 45 to 50 minutes where he teaches through this book. He teaches through this systematic theology on like a Sunday school class at his church in Phoenix or something like that. And I love it. Every time I'm in the car, I just am working my way through all of these things. It's fantastic. Like I am like, yeah, it's... I'm geeking out a little bit over it. It's so amazing. So, here is mine, and I will put not only the link to the podcast, which
okay,
and to be honest with you, really, I mean, obviously, I'm a pastor, a preacher. My job is to teach the Bible, but to be honest with you, as setting all that stuff aside, man, I've just found such my love. It's hard to describe right now, but even listening to the theology, I mean, they're going through the inerrancy of Scripture and they're just going through so much of the doctrine of man, the doctrine of God, the doctrine. They're just going through all this stuff. It's just been so fascinating. And I've actually found my heart really come alive in a new way to God.
That's awesome.
I know. It has been good. So whether your job is to preach the gospel from behind a pulpit or not, I really believe that getting your really understanding theology at a deeper level, and he makes it so accessible.
Yeah.
He's a really great teacher, professor. He's very, again, he's just, I've really enjoyed it. So anyways, Systematic Theology, Wayne Grudem. We will have a link for the book as well as, if you'd like, for the 177 podcast
sessions.
If you'd
like
sessions.
To cheat.
Yes, yeah, it is a little bit, yes.
Well, Banning, that's very smart of you. That book is, that sounds like quite the thriller.
Yeah. Some people waste their time on To Kill a Mockingbird. I'm going deeper with Jesus.
Yes.
Learning more about him.
Very good, very good. I guess that makes up for the lack. I'm going to throw one out to the ladies, of course, if you can imagine, even though this is not, which there's been an outcry for a ladies podcast, and we'll get there. I'm working on it, girls. I'm working on it. But this book was recommended by a very influential woman leader that I've had the privilege of meeting and knowing. And she was giving me some books to read about women in leadership positions because, you know, you need some extra help there, ladies. And this one's written by the COO of Facebook. Her name's Sheryl Sandberg. And it's called Lean In. And it's Women, Work, and the Will to Lead. And Banning, I'll admit, I read this. I'm reading this one. I'm halfway through. I'm reading it on my iPhone. Because
that's all. You know what's funny about that is my wife reads. I can't like reading on an iPhone feels just like so many pages you have
it
to
is.
Turn. Like that feels like I'm reading a big huge text message in my mind. So I've got to have it on a little bit of a bigger tablet. But well, I am proud of you for moving
extending an olive branch. I actually am going to buy the physical copy so I can put it on my bookshelf because that's important to me. Because yes. I don't feel like I've read it unless
don't
I have it.
And a waste of money, but I get it.
Exactly. But I'm reading it on my iPhone.
So what's impacting you about it?
Okay, so tons of things. But she talks about how she says that the phrase, have it all, is probably like one of the hardest phrases thrown to women in this day and age because it's just, it puts so much pressure on women to have it all. And it's an unrealistic expectation that you can, you know, you have to balance your career and your family life and you have to do it all on your own because as a woman you can have it all and you can do it. And she's just like, let's bust this myth. If you're going to do all that, if you're called to lead and you want to be in the workplace and you want to have a family, you need help. it's not just you having it all as a woman, and you've got to just struggle through it and be this exhausted, worn out, working mom and woman and trying to do all this stuff. And so it's really cool. She just talks about the different, you know, she's definitely calling society to kind of raise our, you know, like support of women in the workplace and kind of change some mindsets there. But she's also, it's a good book for men to read. She talks about.
Which is not a negative.
No, not at all.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And she talks, you know, I think it's even good for men. She talks about.
It's not a negative that she's calling us to that, is what
right,
I'm saying. Yes.
Right. For husbands to, you know, if your wife wants to pursue other things, to support her in that and take duties as, you know, housework and child rearing and just coming alongside women who want to do that. And so she just kind of unpacks the phrase, women, you know, you can have it all.
I
She's
love it.
Like, it looks differently than just than you out there. So it's really.
So what's it called?
It's called Lean In, Women, Work, and the Will to Lead by Sheryl Sandberg.
All right. So Becky's Book Nook, mm-hmm. Lean In, Benning's Book Club, Systematic Theology. Hey, listen, for Zach and everybody else out there who tried to keep us out, you can't keep us out. We
can't
will keep coming.
Down.
We will find a way in. We're going to have the longest Book Nook.
It's
book
right.
club combined in the history of the podcast. So check it out. You can get all this information. We'll have the links up online, jesusculture.com/podcast.
That's right.
Until next time, enjoy reading, because what do we say?
As Zach says.
As Zach, leaders are readers. I'm not sure Zach says that, but leaders are readers. All right. See you guys.
Well, we've been talking about leading teams, gathering teams. It's been great to be back.
It's been too long, Chris.
It's been too long. And, you know, just co-host with you guys and my wife. And
this is kind of a moment, really, because, you know, one Key Lala is
guys,
great.
We should take a selfie.
I'm going to take a picture right okay. now as we're recording, and then you'll see this picture. Let me turn the sound on so you know for sure that this is what's happening. And then there you go.
There it is.
Work it. Feel it.
Hey, if you have enjoyed the podcast, be sure to go to iTunes and leave a 5-star review. No less than 5 stars. No, I'm just kidding. We love your feedback. So if you're able to leave a review, that'd be awesome. It would just be able to get this podcast out in front of more people. And then again, on the social medias.
Medias.
I'm trying to be cool. Am I cool?
You're so
am I
cool.
Hashtag cool. K-E-W-L. No, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, MySpace, Verb, yeah, Vine, whatever it is.
Snapchat, Vine. No, just kidding.
LinkedIn. What's with LinkedIn?
Yeah.
I get so many invites to this thing. Maybe that's different podcast. Yeah. All right. Thank you for joining us. You guys are awesome.
Hey, until next time, maybe Bannon will be back. Maybe Becky will be back, but...
The original cast.
They will be back, but we'll talk to you next time. That's it. See you, everyone.
Love you guys.
Bye.
You rise like the blazing sun, shining your glory down on everyone. We stand with hands lifted high, we're in awe of you. Our hearts awakened by your perfect love, sealed with your spirit and a holy touch. The sound of heaven ringing in our hearts, we're in awe of you. There is nothing that could ever shine as bright as you. No sun or moon is gonna light up like you do.